All right, is this on? All right, good. Got a clicker. Got a little something to drink. We're ready to roll. May God's grace and God's peace be with you, brothers and sisters. We're continuing, as you see, the study in the Minor Prophets. We're looking at Haggai. And I'm wondering, can we get the PowerPoint put up there? There we go. I've entitled this message, God's Encouragement to Build His Kingdom. So I want you to imagine with me for a second that you're going to build your dream house, the house that you'll live in for the rest of your days here on earth. You go out and you find yourself a perfect piece of property. You got a great view, great scene. The setup is there. You go hire yourself a contractor. Contractor goes out and builds the foundation of your property. Uh-oh, now we're not working here. There was a drum roll, maybe. There we go. All right. So the contractor has built the foundation of your home. You go out there, you take a look at it. You see where it's set up. You've got this beautiful view of the mountains. You're excited for what's going to be your dream house, right?
Right.
Exactly, David. And then the contractor comes to you one day and says, you know what, I'm not able to work on your home here for a few days. And then those few days become a few weeks. And then those weeks become a few months. And then those months become years. And your house, your dream home, is sitting here like this for 17 years. And then you come to learn that the reason why the contractor is not building your house is because they're building their own house. How angry would you be? Well, that's really the story that we find ourselves in when we open up the book of Haggai. The people had been in exile for 50 years. They've been brought back now into their land, and in their excitement, God gives them an instruction. He says, go rebuild the temple that was destroyed 50 years ago. And so the people, in their excitement, come out and they work and they build this foundation. But then it just sits there, the foundation, for 17 years. God had called them to a specific task, and yet they didn't do it. If you were God, imagine, how would you feel about that contractor? Well, our God, in His grace and in His mercy, sends Haggai, the prophet. Hope we're not there yet. I think I got it, maybe not. He sends Haggai, and Haggai comes to the people to encourage them to get back to work. And in our study here this morning, we're going to see reasons why people stop working for the Lord. But what we're also going to see is that in those times, God encourages us to get back to work, to build His kingdom. And that's really what I loved about this book. We see that God is in a constant relationship with His people. He sees us when we're struggling. He sees us in our hard times. And He encourages us to build His kingdom. Well, before we start studying the Word this morning, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, You have called us this morning in the verses we will study to consider our ways, to consider our own lives and the presentation of this situation and how to apply it to ourselves. I pray, Lord, that all people would set aside our egos and our pride and just evaluate ourselves. Where are we in terms of our work for You, Lord? I pray that You would guide me this morning, allow the words I speak to be Yours, allow me to remember those things You have put on my heart this morning. Just allow me, Lord, to present this message, to touch those people's hearts in the time that they need it, that encouragement to build the kingdom. Father, I just pray that in our time this morning, Your truth would prevail. In Jesus' name, amen. So in these two chapters, I've actually separated this out into a couple of different sections, but I felt like the main question that's being asked here and where the focus is, what causes people to stop working for the Lord? In Haggai chapter 1, we see a focus on self, on our own wants and our own desires. I loved it this morning at Breaking of Bread because it's something we talked about. That is a struggle that we have as people. The second area where we see why people stop working for the Lord is to get discouraged when we compare our work to others and the work that other people are doing. Or when we look at the glory days of what the church used to be. We see that in Haggai chapter 2. In the third section, we see an expectation that people sometimes have, that God will give us something for our work for Him, and He does not provide. And when that happens, we get discouraged and stop working for the Lord. There is a fourth section, and it's a special message directed at leaders. And I have a different interpretation than what our video had, but we'll try and work through it here this morning. So before we start working through each of the individual sections, I think it's important to remember, why was it important to build the temple? Well, first, God had called them to do it. That's pretty simple, right? But as important as that is also that it was the place that they were supposed to worship the Lord, a place where He would be in their presence with them, and that they would be enjoying that time of worship with Him. Well, they were failing to work, and so Haggai comes on the scene. And what does he say? Well, his message is actually pretty simple and pretty straightforward. He says, "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. My house lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house." This is actually a pretty straightforward message, right? I mean, they had been given an instruction to rebuild God's house, and rather than doing it, what were they doing? They were spending their time and spending their money making their own homes paneled and wonderful. And he says that they are busying themselves with their own house rather than his. Well, what about us today? Is this something that we do, that we find ourselves in? That we get busy working on our own homes, or our own wants, or our own desires, and we stop working for the Lord? Maybe it's a focus on career or job or money. For our younger people, maybe it's a focus on school or sports activities. Maybe it's a want and a desire to build up a beautiful home that you busy yourself with your own home and you're not doing the work that the Lord has called you to do. Well, if that is you this morning, if that is a challenge that is on for you, the Lord actually has a very clear instruction to the people of Israel who weren't working and to us today. In verses 7 and 8, the Lord says this, "Consider your ways." There's that phrase again. "Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified," says the Lord. This house that he was encouraging them to build, of course, was the temple. That was the house for them that they were called to build. Well, us today, we don't really have a temple that we're building, but we do have a call by God to build his kingdom. Each and every person here who has a relationship with the Lord, you've been called to build his kingdom, to use the gifts that God has given each one of us to help build his kingdom. And that is the encouragement. And that in our work, he would take pleasure in it, as you see from this verse, and that he would be glorified. Well, the people start to respond positively. They grab the wood, they start bringing things together, and then God, to give them that extra word of encouragement, that extra bit of motivation, here's what he says in verse 13, "I am with you," declares the Lord. "I am with you." Well, as a result of this encouragement from the Lord and these words, the people finally start to get back to building this temple and rebuilding it. And things are looking good, right? Well, they do it for about a month, and then discouragement sets in for them. They start to struggle with something. Well, the Lord knows their heart. He knows what's going on in their minds. And in verse 3 in chapter 2, he says this to the people, "Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes?" The people had been working for about a month now, and they're taking a look at the work that they're doing and what they're building, and they're looking at it going, "This is terrible. This is nothing what we're doing." They were comparing what they were doing right there and what they were called to do to the former temple. And they were making this comparison, and they were getting discouraged. Now, one thing that's interesting is God really here is talking to the older generation of people. He actually says, for those people who had seen this temple in its former glory, well, how old are those people at this time? They're probably 70s or 80s or older. because the temple hadn't been in its position in over 67 years. So what God is saying here is, if you're comparing what you're doing now in your work to something else, stop doing that. Just get to work. Do we do that today? Do we look at the work that we are doing for the Lord and compare it to maybe what someone else is doing? Do we look and think that the work that we're doing and what we're called to is just minor? It's insignificant. It's not important. Or maybe as an older person in this church, you can look back on the glory days and say, the church used to be great back then, but look at it now. It's just not good. The Lord here in this section is saying, stop comparing what you're doing. Just use the gifts that God has given you and to work for Him. And He gives a wonderful set of verses here of encouragement. In verses 4 and 5 from chapter 2, He says the phrase, be strong. And in fact, He says it, if you look at it, three different times. He says, be strong. Work, for I am with you. There's this reminder again that God is with those who are working for Him. My spirit remains in your midst, and fear not. A great encouragement to the people of that day and of today. But He doesn't stop there to help the people and encourage them back to work. In addition to these wonderful words then, He tries to get them focused in on the hope in eternity. He tries to get them focused in on that kingdom that is still to come. Those promises that we have studied recently in Revelation chapter 21, here is what the Lord says. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory. The house He's talking about is that future kingdom that has been promised. The future promise of a hope in a kingdom for all of us still. He continues to say, the latter glory of that house, the future house, it shall be greater than the former. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord. He's telling the people to get back to work, telling them to hold fast to that hope that is still for all in Christ in the future. And with this encouragement, then, the people get back to work. So they're working again, this time for 2 months, a month longer than before. They've been working a total of 3 months now, doing their thing, rebuilding the temple as God had called them to do. Well, what happens? Well, discouragement sets in for them one more time. What is their issue this time? For this group of people, there were some who had an expectation of God. They had an expectation that because they were working for Him, because they were rebuilding the temple, because they were obedient, they had an expectation that God would provide for them. Well, in this section, I disagree with a couple of commentators, and the Lord put something else different on my heart, and that is this. God's message is that for those who are discouraged by not getting your expectations, the Lord's saying, He doesn't want people who work that way for Him. These people in this time had been working for these 3 months, and they were still struggling. They were asking a question of God. We've been faithful. We've been working. We've been building the temple. Why haven't You given to us, God? That was their issue. They had an expectation He would give them something for their work. This group of people, in the 17 years that the temple foundation had sat there, they struggled with famine and drought. Their crops were dying. They didn't have food. They were working for 3 months, and they had this expectation that because they were working, God would give to them. And He hadn't, and they were discouraged by it, and they were struggling with it. Well, the Lord in this section actually says something that's some pretty strong language. And for anyone who has an expectation that God is going to give you something in this life, listen to what essentially the Lord says in this section. For the people who are working for Me, says the Lord, who have an expectation of getting something for yourself, your actions, your offerings, your work, all of it is unclean. God says, if you have an expectation, I'm going to give you something by working for me, I don't accept your work. The Lord wants people's hearts to be right in terms of the work they're doing for him, not an expectation that he's some sort of genie. And I think the question that has to come up is from these verses, consider our ways. Let's be honest with ourselves. Consider your ways. Do you expect God to give you something because you are working for him? Do you expect that good things will happen in you, in your life for you because you're working for the Lord? Do you expect that there will not be any hard times in your life? I appreciate this morning also as breaking of bread, there were some comments about this, about sort of what people teach. There is a message out there. The health and wealth gospel that comes from some preachers is, you believe in the Lord, it's all lollipops and rainbows. Your life will be great. Whatever you want, you're going to get. Just keep going, God's going to give you what you want. I think it's pretty clear from Scripture, that is absolutely 100% not true. But the people in this time of Israel were struggling because God had not provided. And they had, in their obedience, continued to work for him. And there the Lord said to a group of faithful workers, those who kept going in these 3 months, who kept building, who kept working, just kept going despite the hard times, the Lord actually gave them a special promise. It's found in verse 19 of chapter 2. And for the faithful worker, God heard their cries in discouragement, and he made a special promise to those people. It said this, from this day on, I will bless you. Now we need to be careful with this verse, because I think some would take this verse and say, oh, see, you believe, the Lord says he's going to bless you, you're going to get what you want. Wrong, wrong, wrong. I'm not saying that. The Lord is not saying that. But I think there are some people who have this belief. And the problem happens is when you have this expectation of God and he doesn't provide, what happens? You get discouraged. You get angry at the Lord. Why isn't he giving me what I want? Well, this promise that God gave to Israel of I will bless you from this day forward, it was a special promise and blessing to them. But I want to share with you something that the Lord's been putting on my heart since I started studying this, and that there is a faithful promise to the faithful believer in Jesus Christ. There is a promise to the faithful worker for the Lord, and that is this. Here is what God says to you today. I am enough for you in this life. That the creator of the universe, to have a relationship with him, it's enough. Why do we need more than that? That the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you and for your sins, that is enough in this life. And because of these truths, church, we should be working for the Lord. Because of this relationship with him, the sacrifice of Christ, we should be working for him to please him and to glorify him. Not with expectations of something for self, but in joyfulness and thankfulness for who he is. Well, I found it interesting, and this is where I kind of diverge a little bit from the message earlier today, and that is in the very last section of chapter 2, God gives a special message to one person. I found that interesting. So far, he's been talking to the people and trying to encourage them. Well, on the same day that we just saw the Lord say to his people, from this day on, I will bless you, he sends Haggai to send a message to one person. The same day, to one guy. The leader of these people, Zerubbabel. He is the governor of these people, the one who's been leading them. He was with them when they built the foundation. He sat by for 17 years and watched them in their laziness and in their selfishness. This leader then was encouraging them now in this time to get back to work and to build his temple. And so Zerubbabel, the leader, he was discouraged on this day. There was something that was causing him to not want to work. And his concerns are laid out in these final couple of verses. He's concerned that the kingdoms around his people that he is leading have become really strong, that they have become powerful, and that they will destroy his people. And he's worried about it. He's discouraged. He's worried about the attacks of the enemy. Well, on this day, God knows his discouragement, and he encourages him in a wonderful way. He tells him that there is a day coming when God will destroy all of these enemies. He tells him, and for us to understand, that when the Lord Jesus returns, he will destroy all of God's enemies. He's trying to get him here once again to focus on that hope in eternity, the future kingdom that exists. That's now two times that God used a focus on the hope in the future to encourage people to get back to work. And look at the specific promise that God gives to Zerubbabel in verse 23. He says, "On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you." He's saying to him here, on that day in the future, that day in the future when the Lord Jesus returns, when all of God's enemies are destroyed, he says, on that day I will take you, Zerubbabel, I will make you like a signet ring. What does that mean? A signet ring was something that was worn by kings back in the day. It showed power. It showed authority. He is telling this leader that on that day in the future, he will have a role as a leader of God's people. An encouragement to him that he's a leader not only now on this earth, but a leader in the future. Trying to get him to focus again on that future hope. Hold fast to that hope in the millennial kingdom and that hope in eternity. Well, it's often that we stand up here and we give messages to the whole body. I really felt like this last section of chapter 2 was a specific message for leaders. And as I've shared with you before, you don't need a title to be a leader. A leader is anyone who is guiding God's people in some way, shape, or form. For our leaders in the church today, or for those listening, in your time of struggle, God reminds you today you've been chosen. Keep going. Don't get discouraged about the enemy. Don't get discouraged when your sheep are lazy or are failing. You're the shepherd. Keep leading. And what's the reason why? Because God's building something special. You may not see it now here on this earth, but there's something special in God's future kingdom that he is building through your work. And keep going. Well, church, I think it's pretty clear from the verses today that God is asking us to be honest with ourselves. Consider your ways, says the Lord, multiple times in these passages. Consider your ways. Is this your work today? Have you built or begun to do work for the Lord, but you've been on pause? Maybe it's months. Maybe it's this last year and a half. Maybe it's 17 years, like the people of Israel. Has your work started for the Lord, but stopped? Maybe you've been pulled away by your job or by your career, or by a focus on money or material things. Maybe you've been pulled away because of that. Or maybe you've been discouraged because you've been comparing your work to somebody else, that you think that your work that you're doing is minor or unimportant. Or maybe you've been discouraged as an older person looking at what the church is today, and you've been discouraged thinking, it's just lost. There's no reason to put in the work. Or maybe you're sitting out there and you've had expectations of God. You've expected him to give you something in your life. You have expected him to make your life easy, or to not allow there to be hard times. Maybe you're having the hard times now and you're thinking to yourself, I can't keep working. God is speaking to you today, and I hope you hear the message. I pray that in these verses you see and hear the following things. God is in a continuous relationship with us. He sees us in our times of struggle. He sees us in our times of discouragement. And he offers words of encouragement to you today. He says, be strong. Work because I am with you. My spirit is with you, and fear not. He says also to you today, remember that future kingdom that is being built. Remember that hope that is in eternity. Hold fast to that. With both hands and everything you got, focus on that future kingdom that will exist. But I think most importantly, where God has hit me with this message, and I've been able to share this idea with people over the last couple weeks at times in their times of struggle. God wants us to see that a relationship with Him in this life is enough. That the Creator of the universe wants us to know a relationship with Him is all we need. That the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us and for our sins, that's enough. We don't need more than that, church. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and He is calling us now to get to work. Build the house. Build the kingdom. O church, arise. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this clear message of encouragement for the people of Israel. We praise You that in Your grace and Your mercy, You didn't let them just sit there, but instead You sent Haggai the prophet to encourage them and to keep encouraging them. And Lord, we see that You were involved with them after a month's worth of work and 3 months of work and their days. You continued on with them. Lord, help us to see this morning that You are in that continuous relationship with us. Help us, Lord, to set aside all those expectations, desires, things that we want out of life, things that we desire. Instead, just bring us back. Bring us back, Lord, to that main concept that You are enough for us. And because of that relationship that we are in with You, help us, Lord, to build Your kingdom. Use us in the way You want us to be used, Lord. Guide us in what we can do and strengthen us in every stride to do that. Lord, we ask for Your guidance for us. We ask that our work would be pleasing to You, would glorify You. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen.